It's great to be back with you in this week's question and answer segment, Q&A. First up, longtime listener John in California.
Yeah, Chris, just a question about the upcoming fork in Bitcoin. All of my Bitcoin are already stored on a Trezor cold storage wallet hardware device. So how do people already have their Bitcoins on a device, a cold storage wallet, how do they get credit for those new tokens that are going to come into being once the fork takes place? I'm just curious about that. It's not clear from the instructions from the Alpha Stocks newsletter about exactly how this is all going to take place. If your Bitcoins are in a cold storage wallet, off, not online, I can't see how they're going to be credited. But anyway, if you can shed any light on that, I appreciate it. Thanks.
Hi, John. This is really the big question, isn't it? We have an upcoming fork, and for newbies here, which really aren't we all newbies, maybe in the kingdom of the newbie, the slightly more informed newbie is king. But this SegWit 2X, as we're calling it, I like to call it B2X for Bitcoin 2X. It essentially is a segregated witness. That's what SegWit stands for. And there will be some really serious coding changes to the Bitcoin platform. This, as you might expect, will require a splitting of the blockchain into the legacy BTC, which is what we think of BTC now, and this new SegWit 2X. Now, the 2X stands for a doubling of the block size. And really, there's an awful lot of debate by folks with a lot of knowledge as to whether or not increasing or even decreasing the block size will improve. In reality, we'll likely still see higher fees eventually and longer wait times and things of that nature. And that's why I think Roger Ver, if you're familiar with him, he's some people refer to him as the Bitcoin Jesus, but he was one of the folks to really get on top of Bitcoin early. He made probably several hundred million now, and he's quite the evangelist of Bitcoin. What the Bitcoin developers are failing to recognize here is that Bitcoin will eventually be eclipsed by faster, less expensive, and more nimble Bitcoin substitutes as a currency. And here's an example. Litecoin and others such as Monero and maybe not ETH, which is really more of a contract-based coin that's script. What Bitcoin developers might be missing, he points out, is look, we should be focusing on lowering costs, increasing the speed of transactions. He switched, diversified into Bitcoin Cash and made, I bet, doubled his fortune because shortly after he got on that train and he's still there, Bitcoin Cash just exploded in price. And I think there's potential for a lot of people to wake up to this because he was an early adopter. You might say the earliest, other than maybe Satoshi. Forget that. Cut that out. What does this mean for listeners today? When our calendar, our countdown calendar, in and around that date, you will essentially have a snapshot of all of your Bitcoins. And then if you have prepared properly, you will have as many Bitcoins as you had before, but then another set of identical number of SegWit2X. These are represent the new blockchain. I have in my hand, and I've been distributing to some of my top folks, just frankly friends of the show, sending them numerous wallets this week, just as gifts or as promotions and things. A very special wallet that my subscribers know about and some have actually received from us here at GoldSeek. And this very inexpensive wallet will just automatically pretty much split your Bitcoin from your SegWit, okay, on around November, let's say 14th or 15th. But there's a catch. There is, of course, the risk of replay attacks. Now, what is a replay attack? Gee, more jargon, more terminology. Let's keep it simple. You go to spend either some of your new SegWit or your original Bitcoin. There is essentially a double spending issue or a potential for an attack, a return attack. And this can be mitigated, but it is tricky. So I'm going to try to tell people, don't do anything. Make sure you have your Bitcoin and your SegWit in cold storage. If it's in cold storage and you have the private keys, make sure you print those out and hide it. You want to have your private keys. 99.9% chance you'll be fine. As long as you don't transact a day or two before, preferably several days after the snapshot of this month. So just keep it in limbo. That is your surefire way to get your SegWit and retain your Bitcoin without any fear of these dreaded replay attacks. But then there's a catch. Many folks expect that the forking of the SegWit will, of course, collapse in price. This may or may not happen, but it has happened following the earlier two splits or forks. Think of the conundrum you're facing. Oh, you'll be just fine if you do nothing. Oh, you'll lose everything if you do nothing. It's an ambiguity. That's what I'm trying to help people who are just saying, look, I want to be able to sell either my Bitcoin or my SegWit because the Bitcoin will be sans about an 18 to 20% dividend on that day. Well, we all know what happens to stocks when they're sans dividend, past the dividend date, right? They have to adjust their price downward in almost every instance. And then you have the SegWit, which typically loses 60 to 85%. In the minutes, hours, days, and weeks following the fork. You're faced with a conundrum. For folks who are not investment-minded, which I recommend for the Bitcoin following this event, and I think the SegWit should too, so I'm planning to liquidate, go to cash, go to USDT Tether, okay, and wait to buy everything back on the cheap. They don't want to just sit on their cash. So here is the only close to surefire way I found, and I received this from the 10X developer who, I don't know, probably just made about $80 million on his ICO. For folks who don't know 10X, it just facilitates iPhone transactions. Pretty exciting stuff. Here's what you do, as I understand it. You want to have your current Bitcoin on a SegWit-supported cold storage like Ledger, Trezor, or something along those lines. In other words, off the exchanges, which you don't want to leave them on most of the time anyway, by the way, and keep those private keys. The moment the snapshot occurs, you'll know because as you look at your SegWit 2X chain on that wallet, they will show up. And it'll almost certainly be the number that you had before. You still risk replay at this point, assuming they haven't implemented, meaning the SegWit developers, Jeff Garzik, he's the only developer, as I understand right now, of the chain. But assuming they haven't implemented replay protection, which we believe they may not, then you are at risk of losing some or all of your Bitcoin and SegWit. So what do you do? Well, according to this developer, you simply take a tiny amount, let's say 0.0001, Bitcoin, you purchase that on an exchange and send it over to your cold storage, just the Bitcoin. If and only if your Bitcoin balance, let's say it was one, now shows 0.001, and your SegWit, though, shows one, then you have almost certainly split your coins. But if the SegWit reflects the same, it's a mirror image of your Bitcoin, you have not split your coins, and you'll want to keep repeating the transaction until they're split. Now, he did suggest another step, and that was that after this point, you would then send your Bitcoin to another new account that's never had Bitcoin in it before. At that point, it's fully split because you have two different balances and you've sent off the Bitcoin or the SegWit to an unused account where there is absolutely no balance and there never has been a balance. Okay, people are probably shaking their heads. I'm not terribly pleased about it. But if you are just desperate, let's say, think of it. Let's assume you have 10 Bitcoin and you're about to have 10 SegWit and it's about a 25% dividend and you're convinced it's going to drop 50, 60, 70, 80, 90% in hours and the days ahead. You don't want to wait. You know, you have an enormous sum at risk. Chances of losing all of that dividend. You're not long-term oriented on your SegWit like you are your Bitcoin. You'll want to make sure they're split first. And I hope that helps some people. And I know there will be, I certainly hope there will be more folks listening to me who are more knowledgeable on the subject. And they'll likely send in additional tips. But right now, we have all the details listed for our Alpha Stocks newsletter subscribers who always get the information first. Okay, so John, I hope that helped. I can just hear you pounding the table, tossing the beverage across the room. If you have any specific questions, anyone at all, gsr@hughes.net, drop me a line. Opening up the mailbag here for digital questions and comments. First up, okay, Brian is interested in gold And he says that China has probably amassed an enormous sum, which we're only starting to find out now, that they have enormous reserves in the ground, which they're claiming eclipses that of the United States. But remember, it hasn't been mined yet, and that's kind of the fly in the ointment. But nevertheless, you know, they retain all their gold. It's not shipped off, so it's theirs. They just have to procure it. So he's convinced that there are drums of war with North Korea, and China is on the sidelines, and we have an administration who seems to be at odds with both parties, and what a great time to own gold and silver. Well, you know, I agree with you, Brian, but I disagree with you somewhat. I'd say every time is a great time to own gold and silver, because eventually we're waiting for that Bitcoin moment when the blockchain keeps picking up on gold and silver, and there just is none to find, because guess what? It's big on transparency, is it? Next, Chris, longtime subscriber, been listening to the show for a while, and he really enjoyed Jim Rickards and Bob Hoy. Well, listen, we appreciate that, listener, and wish you the best. It's Daniel, a truly long-time listener. It's got to be close to 12 years. He says, hope you're doing fantastically. He'd like to know the name of the Elliott Wave guy mentioned in London. Daniel, I don't even have his direct name, but here, let me give it for everybody. So just send over a request to anyone who wants the Elliott Wave analyst who's done so well, and I'll fire it over to you. Then another longtime listener, Ken, friend of the show, says he enjoys it tremendously, and he mentions several of his favorite tokens. He also mentions that Cliff High, one of our favorites here, expects for Litecoin to hit triple digits. Oh, absolutely. You know, I agree with both of you on that one. Oh, and then the Hedge ICO, which tumbles. Yes, you know it has. I haven't recommended it until about now. It hit 0.0018 today, which is nearly 80-85% off the ICO. I think we're probably close to a bottom there, and I picked up a small position, ticker HDG, and it's on, of course, HIT BTC for our listeners who are interested. I also like ICX, that's the Icon ICO, which can, as you know, at least 50% rally from my entry point, and it looks like it might have another entry here. Okay, on that note, I want to thank everybody for sending in their questions and comments. I just don't have time to get to everybody today, but if you'd like to talk to us, we would like to hear your questions and comments. And the best thing to do is call in. You can do so 24/7. You can call us. Remember, it's not toll-free, but we'd love to field your questions and comments. You can call in 641-715-3900. The extension number is 514049, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 641-715-3900. Maybe you'd like to talk about cryptos, maybe precious metals. Maybe you'd like to just tell me how little the host really knows. 641-715-3900, 514049. Just record and leave your question as many times or as much as you'd like. Coming up after the break, more Gold Seek. Stocks hitting new highs, the next sector to fly could be the precious metals. GoldSeek's top industry analyst just uncovered another solid gold opportunity, Silvercorp Metals. Silvercorp's key property is located in China, the largest gold producer in the world. Silvercorp's net income is soaring, up 589%. Production eclipsed guidance by 27.5%. totaling 6.5 million ounces. Mining operations are literally printing silver at only $3.82 per ounce. AISC net byproducts credits for the fiscal year 2017. Sales increased 51% year over year, and cash flow from operations more than doubled to $80 million. Silvercorp continues to set the industry standard with reduced costs, equity appreciation, a solid dividend, and improved free cash flow. Silvercorp is uniquely positioned to capitalize on rising silver, lead, and zinc prices. To learn more about the exceptional opportunity in Silvercorp Inc., direct your web browser to silvercorpmetals.com, ticker symbol SVM in the U.S. and Canada. Remember to treat your portfolio with a core position in Silvercorp Metals.
GoldSeek employees may or may not own shares. Nothing contained herein should be construed as investment advice.